Sup, sports fans, and welcome back to what will be a rousing episode tonight of Low Expectations, the Gruder Golf Podcast, brought to you by the No Laying Up Podcast Network. And tonight you've got Haley.
Hello.
We've got Kiki.
Good evening.
And we've got me, Jenny. Am I screaming?
You always are.
I sound like it.
I'm really hyped up. I'm recording tonight from my bed because I'm really happy to be home from the Chevron Championship.
Life on the road.
In Rancho Mirage. Yeah, life on the road, man.
What are you wearing, Jenny?
I'm in actually a plush white bathrobe a la the official bathrobe. I mean, Cupcho, you could probably relate. All these Jennies in robes this weekend. The robe actually did look really plush, by the way. I saw it trotted in.
I want to know, do they not sell that in the pro shop? Or not the pro shop, but the gift shop?
Unfortunately, there was no merchandise to be had. I heard early on Saturday that all the merch had been sold during the practice round, so there was nothing there, which was really sad because what bothered me the most. Okay, so we'll kick things off right away.
Well, I was going to say, should we level set with where you were and what you were doing?
Okay, that's probably
the audience.
I feel like a lot of people know. Doesn't everybody already know where I was?
Everyone knows. It's in the title.
So yeah. On Thursday night, I flew out to LA and I drove down to Greater Palm Springs area on Friday to watch the Chevron Championship on Saturday and Sunday and watch Cupcho bring it home. So yeah,
gaining excitement.
That's what I did. And I was, it was like so exciting. I mean, everything about it, I was very excited about what was going on in general. Not necessarily about the win per se. It was hers to lose come Sunday. You know what I mean? She pulled ahead so much on Saturday. I also wasn't watching her and ran into the issue of having no idea what was going on because you had to be on your phone checking things. They didn't have those little earpieces that they had at the Solheim.
Oh, they didn't?
No, that's only at the Solheim they have that.
Really?
Wow, those things were critical.
There were scoreboards around and everything and like a little bit of word of mouth and whatnot, but it wasn't as easy to follow along. And also a key difference from the Solheim, a lot more golf being played. Right.
You had
like a full course, 18 pairs out at a time, which was a lot to keep up with and very overwhelming for an LPGA fan like myself to be like, who do I even want to watch right now? I was kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
So who did you watch on Saturday? So I think we kind of knew on Sunday, but where'd you kick it off?
Who did I watch on Saturday? That's a really good question. Oh my God. Well, I'll just like run through who I was like so excited to see because I don't remember. You guys know I work in kind of a more abstract way, not much of a timeline gal. So I can't like really walk you through the day.
I'm so sorry for asking.
But I was like, what did I do on Saturday? But some key moments that I really remember. One, I like kind of almost cried seeing Envy Park in real life just because just poetry in motion. The swing really does look so slow motion. Her skin was obviously glowing. She was all sunscreened up from her sunscreen man, her husband. Just like such an energy, the first time like seeing Tiger in real life that you're like, whoa, like just the way that he walks and everything and just like very intentional about his movement and just like dialed in, like that is what he's doing right then. And that's like the sense that I got from Envy was like,
wow,
this is just what she does. You know what I mean? This was what she was born to do. Not like a spectacular weekend for her, but like, I was happy as a clam as a fan, like a little limerick. But yeah, she was really cool. So I watched her. She was playing with Soyeon Ryu too. And so really fun little moment. Soyeon Ryu teed off and then she wasn't pleased with her tee shot. She kind of like slammed her club down a little bit, not like in a violent way, just kind of like in a shucks way. And then she turned and there was some guy, some like older guy named Tom in the crowd. And she like turned, she goes, oh my God, Tom, hey. And then like ducks out of the ropes and then comes like gives him a hug. And it's like, she's playing on a Saturday in a major right now. And like, she's coming out to like say hello to like, maybe it's her host family or whatever. Just like,
years.
There's a lot of history there
family
with like people knowing people, going back year after year. But yeah, she just like ducked out. She's like, oh yeah, like made fun of herself for like her tee shot a little bit. It was like, ugh. And meanwhile, it was like totally fine. It was like a little bit to the right, but I was like, this is pretty good, I thought, personally. But yeah, so that was pretty cool. She seemed like super nice. And then some people responded to the story and were like, oh my God, yeah, she's so nice. Oh, I need to plug my computer in. Hold on. I just saw that it's like dying a little bit. Again, I'm reporting from bed, which I don't usually do. So the infrastructure isn't perfect. So yeah, seeing her was super exciting. Who else was I like so excited to see? I mean, always cool to see Jess Korda swing. Just like what a beautiful swing and like very poised and like cool.
We also didn't follow her a ton at the Solheim either. Like we didn't really spend any time with the Kordas because they were playing so terribly.
That is probably one of the most difficult things is to decide like who you even want to watch just because all your favorite golfers are there, you know? I didn't spend a ton of time at the range either. I always love going to the range, but by the time I got there, like it was also tough to time out the range because it was like, when is, you have to know all the tee sheet. Yeah. I also didn't know on day one that like at the media center, obviously they have printed out all the pairings and, you know, the times that people are going out and like the pin placements and the money list and everything. So they've got all these things printed out. I didn't realize that till Sunday. So I was kind of flying blind a little bit. I went out to Poppy's Pond and like got, you know, saw the statue and everything before people started coming through. People were very skeptical. The volunteers, okay, can I talk about the volunteers for a second? The volunteers were on a bit of a high horse. Really? And yes, are they
doing an MLM similar to the...
Oh, yeah, they definitely have to pay and everything. I mean, I think that that's the way things go, that people have to pay to volunteer anyway. And I think they're happy to do so. But the first kind of thing, they were really aggressively shushing, even when I didn't feel like it was 1,000% warranted. You know, these were, on Saturday especially, pretty small galleries. And, like, you know, I mean, yes, do I forget to be quiet? Of course, right? But then once you've already said, okay, be quiet, right? Then I'm whispering. And also, the players are in the middle of the fairway. Like, we're far away, right?
They were yelling at you?
They can't hear me. And also, they don't need it, like, quiet enough for a pin to drop in there. Like, this is their job. They're professional athletes. They don't need silence.
Well,
complete silence.
First of all, a few things.
I don't think.
Your whisper is not a normal whisper.
So then I'm whispering.
Yeah. So then I'm whispering. And they would like make eye contact though and like be like, basically shut the fuck up.
Well, I guess it's hard to go from the Solheim where you were like encouraged to like be as loud as you could while they were teeing off.
Yeah.
Well, also,
but that's even on Poppy's party deck though. I figured that at least there, because that's the 18th green, like they had a whole grandstand set up and everything, and it was like a bar, and it was supposed to be, and it literally had a sign on it called Poppy's Party Deck. You could not be shushing on what you're calling a party deck. I'm sorry, that's bad branding.
Well, bad branding. Just to play devil's advocate, is it more like that stuffy golf respect thing than anything else?
It very well could be, but I think that I take a little bit of issue with that because I think that it
personal
is...
Personal offense.
Yeah, I mean, to a person like me, you know, a sports fan, you know, I don't know. It's just hard to imagine that happening like in any other sport, right? Like you go to a basketball game, a baseball game, you're there to like talk to the people you're with, like have some beers, both of which I was doing. Well,
I was going to say, because based on the coverage, like your personal coverage of what you were doing on Sunday on Instagram, it seemed like you were having a great time with fans.
Oh my God. I had a
And talking to everybody.
Talking to everybody and drinking with everyone.
I had people talk to at every turn, pretty much. Well, because also we'll get into kind of life on the road, but when I had, you know, the opportunity to talk to people, I was talking to literally everybody. I decided that going in. I was like,
literally,
you know,
everybody.
People on the West Coast are nice, right? Like they want to talk to you for some reason. And it was great because I was ready to talk right back. Because the moments where you're alone, you are so alone that you have no one to talk to.
Okay, should we just get one last commentary on the golf and then we can just really go head first into the life on the road chapter of this episode?
I can run you through. I think that what encapsulates it the best is I wrote a list of 15 things. My phone died on Saturday. I didn't have one of those battery packs. I also didn't even have so much as a phone charger. I left it in the car. I could have gone to get it. So I had to text Zephyr and be like, hey, bud, do you have a phone charger I could borrow? He's like, you're such a rookie. It's crazy. I was like, well, yes, definitely am. I also told so many people. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, I wish I had, like, a koozie or a sticker to give you. But, like, I'm not really the organized one. So, and I'm traveling alone. So, it's been a lot.
So, she didn't have any. She had one single koozie.
I had one koozie. Jen Turk got the koozie. We were actually going to share the koozie.
Someone we already know.
Well, you know, it was tough. I mean, I think I made a lot of connections. I think I made a lot of new friends. We'll get into the new friends because it's very exciting. Hope you guys are listening. Hey, miss you. But yeah, we have friends from all over the country now, which is great.
That's great.
Honestly, too, like maybe I should move to the West Coast. I don't know. It felt right.
I honestly didn't think we were going to get you back from Palm Springs.
Oh my God, you guys. We'll get into Palm Springs. Okay, I'll read my notes from when my phone died. One, it's absolutely beautiful here. It really was. Can't say enough. No, seriously. Like, I don't think TV does it justice. Like,
it looks sick.
There are mountains, like very dramatic looking mountains in the background. I was wearing my Golf Gooder sunglasses, which are like super polarized. And so it really makes everything pop, especially the yellow color or the pink color, both of which I was wearing. Sup, Taylor. But yeah, so love those. Actually, everyone was wearing Gooders, I'll say. Because they were doing, there was a banner flying around with an airplane that said flamingo, and I didn't know what that was. And somebody was like, oh, that's the Gooder.
Wait. Yeah,
that's their flamingo lenses.
I saw you tag that, and I couldn't tell what was on the banner. And I was like, it must be something Gooder, but.
Flamingo. I thought it was like a hotel around there or something, because all the bars and restaurants were called like the Palm or like the Flamingo and things like that. So it really was gorgeous. The landscaping was beautiful. And I was really concerned when I first got to Palm Springs at like how unnatural it all seemed because it was in the middle of the desert. And I was a little bit like weirded out that that was where people, you know, Bob Hope decided to put like 130 golf courses, not personally, but I was like, this seems very unsustainable and kind of weird. If anybody's watched Goliath season, the final season of that, it's all about like the water and the drought in California. Billy Bob Thornton, highly recommend. But I was like, this seems a little bit irresponsible to have all of this like plush, you know, landscaping everywhere. Yeah. But Jen Turk told me it's all on an aquifer.
Yeah.
Palm Springs is literally an oasis. Okay, didn't know that at all. So
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, there's an ocean underneath.
Yeah, no, I don't know if this is connected or separate, but I remember when we were out there a couple of years ago, there's like a whole salt ocean that I think dries up and then like replenishes itself. Not really sure the details, but
we might need to get a geologist on here.
Okay.
Because I found that pretty fascinating, and I was very relieved, honestly, too. So, one,
well, there's a reason why the town sprouted up, right? There had to be some water there.
Right, true.
But, like, I don't know. You never know. People are crazy, right? And also, people around there seemed, like, tapped as fuck. So, I was like, I don't know what they're up to. They might have thought this was a good idea to, like, live on this, like, planet. We'll get into that. Number two. Okay, I met a small girl who was following Lexi and practicing her practice swing with her dad as she was walking, which I thought was very adorable. And so I asked her, I was like, hey, great practice swing. Like, can I see that again? And her dad was like pumped. And I was like, are you guys following Lexi? And they were like, yeah. And get this, her name was Alexis. She was literally named after Lexi. Her dad was like, I named her after Lexi. I was like,
wow.
My God.
Goodness gracious. So yeah, there were every single person I asked who their favorite golfer was, almost everybody said Lexi.
Wow.
I have a lot of interviews and everything. Yeah.
Is that just because people, everybody. Like, I mean, people don't know anyone else?
I think there's definitely that. I think that, I mean, like sometimes people would say like Jess Korda after they said Lexi. So I think there's definitely like something that like they also are like they have like the biggest sponsorship deals and like are probably the most familiar American faces. They're American, which like matters to some people, I think. Like, I don't know. I was thinking that like this weekend too. Like, I think it's very cool, the international aspect of the LPGA.
Sure.
And I think especially as we live in like an increasingly globalized society, I don't feel like the foreign players don't feel super foreign.
No,
like it's not like, you know, it's like, I don't know if you're from like Britain, you know, like, I don't know. I don't feel like, oh, like I don't have anything in common with them, you know? So, well, I mean, Britain's a bad example. India, Aditi from India. I'm like,
the single country that's most like the US.
The country that literally the US was based on. I'm like, Britain, I feel kindred with them. Did see Charlie for a little while on Sunday, which was obviously.
Oh, yeah.
She was playing with Ryan O'Toole. So they were just heavy hitters. Outfit wasn't like crazy, but Ryan O'Toole's caddy was ripping a butt, like walking down the 15th fairway, which I loved. I tried to get a video of it, but he was like over the other side.
Is that sanctioned behavior, or are there no rules? I feel like there'd be rules around that.
I mean, there might be, but honestly, like, who was out there to see? Actually, maybe my new friend Ian, a rules official.
Yeah,
I should probably ask him, see if he has any insight. But I mean, it's maybe like frowned upon, but you know, at the end of the day, like, what are they going to like give her a penalty or something, or like a slap on the wrist? I don't know. That is a good question, Haley. I'll look into that.
Thank you.
I'll dig that up. So we had the Lexi number three. People who live on the course. Party on all caps. Like, so the course, the people at Mission Hills love this coming through. Like, they were having ragers. You would overhear people being like, oh, do you want to go back to the house and make some more margaritas? Like, people were bringing their drinks out of the courses. Like, seemed very fun. And it was gorgeous there, too. Like, seemed like a pretty sweet place.
Yeah.
To hang out. To be snowboard.
Yeah.
Let's see. Number four, still looking for Niall. Niall Horan was on site on Friday. He tweeted about it. Yes. And I was like, oh my God, this is sick. So he has Modest Golf, which represents Leona, our girl. And also mm-hmm. Pia Babnick, who I think came in like solo five. She had a really great, I think she's like 18 years old.
She's the young one.
She's Slovenian. Yeah. She's like a teenager. She had a fantastic week. So he was following her around, and Leona, I believe he might have one more athlete. But I do forget. But I said that on the way into the media center on Saturday. I was like, hey, have you guys seen Niall around? Like, I'm going to look for him. And they were like, yeah, it's funny because yesterday he was walking around all day. And because the audience was much older, very few people recognized him.
Yeah.
Like, he was able to go very incognito. Wow. Which was funny. Yeah. So.
You probably liked that.
Probably. Yeah, I bet. You know, just watching some golf. I told somebody when I was alone, it's like there were these two guys that were watching like Nana Courts Madsen. She was doing great too, and I was really excited to see her in real life. Again, I think we saw her at the Solheim, but yeah. Like, I didn't really like, I wasn't paying a lot of attention to her at the Solheim, honestly. Very distracted by Leona. But I like told somebody, I forget the context, but I told somebody that Nana was the hottest player on tour right now. Because I think that I heard Beth Ann say that. So
I mean, I was coming off of some pretty big weeks.
So yeah, I think I was chatting with them before. I forgot the context. But yeah, no, she's been doing great. She was like a tiny bit, and you know, I don't want to throw any stones here, but she was like a tiny bit slower than I would have hoped, like as somebody to watch. She was playing with Allie Ewing, who seemed to be kind of like, you know, trying to move things along a little bit more.
So what was she doing that made her so slow?
So it was the type of thing like before every shot, there was a lot of thought, there was a lot of conversation, there was like more, it was like not a ready golf situation. Putts were taking a pretty long time. Even on the, she was first on the tee box, and she would stand, instead of like vacating the tee, kind of stand and wait. So like Allie couldn't like, you know, tee it up right away. Mm. It was like, I don't know if she's known as being slow, but like for me as a person watching the whole situation, I was like, oh, this seems, you know, I don't even really know very well how slow is slow, you know, but seemed a little slow to me. But very interesting to watch, you know?
Yeah.
Putting a lot of thought into things. I don't know if I want to say this. Zephyr was hungover on Saturday. Sorry, Zephyr, blowing you up. But that was in my notes. Yeah, so
here to speak the facts.
Well, because we went to the Nest on Friday night, which was the bar. Listeners will remember that Marina was telling us about a bar with a clown. And several listeners reached out and said, that bar is called the Nest. You must go. And so there I went. 7:30 on Friday night with my only friend in town, Zephyr. Shout out. And we like got dinner. And then the bar really was crazy. Like,
listeners a little bit about the scene.
Palm Springs is basically old people acting very like young people, like getting the fuck down, and they have money and they are like ready to rage. It kind of just like the whole thing seemed like not real life. And I feel like the Nest is the perfect like example of all of that. So it's like, you know, a restaurant that says it's like top 100 restaurants in the country, according to the sign. Sign looks a little bit old, but it was good. Food was good, drinks were good. And then the bar scene is really why people go there. And so the bar was just, there was like a kind of a live band, but it sounded like karaoke, the singer, but it was like just, and it's hard to describe. So when we came out of the restaurant to like go to the bar and get a few drinks, everybody who was sitting at the bar, like was facing outwards. Okay. So like going to get, approaching the bar to get a drink was really weird because you had like go face to face with somebody. Cause like the whole weekend I was obviously looking for a bar to sit down and eat, you know, like feel like that's kind of, you know, one of the only ways to eat when you're alone. And you couldn't do that places.
It is absolutely the only way to eat when you're alone.
Oh my God, I had to get a table by myself on Saturday. What? We can get into that.
Oh,
well, that was when I couldn't find any food. I couldn't find any food and there were no bars to be had that were serving food. It was crazy.
Oh, sorry.
So yeah, the Nest, it had the, and then the craziest part about the whole thing, the part that really was like the icing on the cake was the clown, which doesn't look like, it's not a funny clown at all. And it's like not even a spooky clown. He was just like, it looked like they were like stuffing his butt with like pillow stuffing.
Wait, was it like a person?
Wait, is this, dressed
it's a statue?
As a person. No, it was a person. I sent you guys videos of this, right?
No.
I need to put up a post of like the just the general weekend, and I will include a video of the clown. So listeners, check it out.
I don't get it though. Every night painted, it's a different person.
No, it's the same clown, I think. I don't know. I only went there one night. I think one was enough to kind of get the scene. He was like white face paint and he like wasn't doing anything clownish. Like there were no balloon animals. There was no like clowning around. Like
no
he was
tricks.
walking around. He might have been like a little bit buzzed, you know, for all I know. he looked just like he had just seen better days, you know, but like,
why would they be stuffing anything up his butt?
I'm not up his butt, just like stuffing his butt to like give him more of like a pear shape.
Who's they? Is he hired by the Nest?
He's definitely hired by the Nest because then he was going through the line at the end. Like when we left probably at like 10, let's see, we got dinner. Like, yeah, we probably left there at like 10 PM or something. He was working the line a little bit, but just like going through and like, again, not like clown around. He was like an old man that was dressed fully as a clown.
How old do you think
white,
he was?
All white, white face paint, white pants.
Oh, kind of chic.
White everything. Impossible to know. Yeah, it was like probably for the desert heat. Maybe he wears that all day long. he was like a somewhat unsettling clown, but like not like, yeah, green wig, black vest. Maybe his butt isn't stuffed, but no, his butt's stuffed. Butt is stuffed. He's wearing like maybe undergarments that make it look like he has like a bigger butt. Yeah, he had like a sequined vest and he was just like creeping around a little bit.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I mean, that's why we have to go back to Palm Springs, you guys. I have ideas. We'll get to that. Okay, number eight. The Tavataniket Cup Show Gallery was maybe 50 people, 60. Great, you know? So on Saturday, like, the leaders were getting, like, you know, bigger galleries because there weren't, like, a ton of people there. Like, yeah. It was definitely populated, but, like, I mean, golf courses are big, but I was just, like, comparing it in my head to, like, you know, other, like, you know, PGA Tour majors that you see on TV and the level of crowds that you have there. And, like, I mean, just about any player you could get pretty damn close to, you know, even if there was a bigger gallery, if you kind of played your cards right and like followed along, like they weren't gigantic.
Wait, tell us about Danielle signing the hat.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And so like, they would all, that come about?
The other amazing thing, another reason to go to events, they come out like, you know, after the media tent and everything, they went out into like basically general population so people could wait and get autographs and everything. And so I was with my two new friends, Chris and GJ, shout out. And Chris was a huge Danielle Kang fan and had been following her. That's how I ran into them. And she was like, oh my God, like, do you guys have anything I could that she could sign for me? Do you have a golf ball? I was like, why would I bring a golf ball to a golf tournament? Like, no, I don't have a golf ball. Like, you're wearing a hat. Just get her to sign your hat. Here, I'll do it. And then like, I was like, Danielle, could I get you to sign this hat? And then I dropped my sunglasses right in front of her and she picked them up for me because she's very nice. And yeah, she signed the hat and said, you girls are the best. Danielle Kang.
Oh, so
that was very exciting.
Yeah, that's so nice.
Why? What did you think happened? What did it look like was happening?
No, I didn't know how you came to be chatting with her.
Yeah, that was tournament. Anybody could have done that. That wasn't an insider. Wow.
Seemed insider. An insider
scoop. Yeah, I mean, good. You know, kind of. I mean, she, you know, I think she recognized me. Also, the Gruder golf hat probably helped, you know, that I handed her. I was like, oh, that's who this weirdo is. There was like all little children that I like kind of throw some bows, you know. I waited for them to go. A little girl in a, like a really cute Adidas romper.
Oh, that's cute.
Clearly a super fan. Let's see. Number 10. Oh, no. The ninth thing that I wrote down. I got invited to a caddy party. I don't know if they'll follow up, but it was cool just to be invited.
That they is did cool. follow up.
I got the follow up, but the whole time I was there, everybody just thought I was a narc. And I was like, no, like, you guys don't understand. Like, it's not like a serious podcast. Like, I'm not, if you listen to it, you'll understand. Like, it's not, I'm not going to tell any secrets. Why? So,
they were tight-lipped around you?
No, no one was tight-lipped, but it was just like, they just kept making fun of me, which was fun, actually. We were just like drinking some beers and saying? Everyone was like, well, I mean, like, okay, so after Saturday, honestly, like, after, so on Saturday night, I left the tournament. I like went home, showered. When all was said and done, I wasn't really ready to like leave my hotel room until probably 9 o'clock. And I figured I'll go, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood. I'll get a quick bite. I'm exhausted. Was out last night. I'll go to bed. Every single restaurant within walking distance, there were probably like 4 or 5 or 6 or something, had either stopped serving food or was going to be closed for an after wedding party. So you couldn't sit at the bar or anything. And I was just like, there was literally nowhere to eat. So many places like stopped serving food, I think because of the older clientele at 9 p.m. Yeah. So restaurants were closed at 9 p.m. So I had nowhere to go there. And then like I was calling a few places like, hey, what's open? You know, are you still serving food? I got directed to this place called New York Pizza Delivery, which was would have been a really sick bar to go to if I had some like energy. But I think like there were some like bikers in there. It was a very aggressive scene. It wasn't cozy at all. I really needed like some comfort and just like a place to just sit and eat and have a beer and get some food. And they were blaring music, like the loudest music I've ever heard in a bar. And people were like out. This was Saturday night. Hordes of people running around, like, you know, minimum party size was 4 people, all the way up to 10 people. A lot of bachelorette parties, a lot of like just like, you know, like locals. I don't really know. Running around all blacked out. Like people were going crazy and there was nowhere to eat. And I was like, how is this possible? Like, there's no late night food place around here. I tried to go into a dispensary and ask them if there was any late night food around, and they had closed. So,
oh my God.
Because I figure, you know, you want to find something to eat, you ask a stoner, you know? And it's like, oh, they'll know where to go. So finally, I asked some girls outside the dispensary. I was like, do you guys know of anywhere that's open right now? And they were like, oh yeah, I went to a place called El Patron. There was a taco place. Like, you order inside, and like, you got a little, there was no bar there either. So I just sat at a little table by myself. But after that whole fiasco, that was like, I finally ate at like 10:30 or something.
So oh my God. Just
like, this was a long night. Yeah. And I was like, damn, you know, I should have planned better. I should have stopped after the tournament to get something to eat, but you know, lessons learned on the road. And so after that, I was like, I don't care what I do. I don't care where I'm going. If I'm the weirdest person there, I'll go anywhere if I can talk to people. Like, I just cannot spend another night alone.
This is Sunday night you're talking about.
Yeah. So then like I got, you know, followed up with the invite. I was like, oh yeah, like this is the address, you know, text this person when you get there. And so I was like, I don't care what I'm walking into. Like, you know, this could be some sort of like, you know, they could be doing human sacrifices in there. And I'd be like, all right, you know, what do I do? What do you want? You know, like this is better than hanging out solo.
Set the scene a bit, because we know your connection to the caddy party, but
so it was at a private home though too. That like, whoa, it was like a host home, so it was like some people that lived on the course. So it was absolutely gorgeous, and they were all, everyone was very, very nice. But yeah, it was. So then we just like sat around, you know, like had some.
How many
drinks,
people were there?
Laughs. Probably like, you know, 8, 7. And the numbers varied at all times.
Everyone was a caddy?
Know? Not everyone was a caddy. There were some just like, you know, civilians and everything. I think I need to tell you, I forget that I didn't tell you guys about, I can't tell you because honestly, I felt like a narc. So I can't speak about it publicly.
Don't say
because,
it.
Because one of the ladies who was there kept being like, off the record. I was like, no, you don't get it. Like, I'm not a real journalist. Like, this is all off the record. Like, the way our default, the way that we operate in terms of like, what people tell us or stories or something is like, you need to intentionally tell me that you want me to repeat it or else I don't. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to just repeat something like
willy-nilly,
you know? Like, I don't want to burn any bridges here. I don't want anyone to think I'm like a weirdo. I mean, I am a weirdo. So like, I have to kind of tone it down. So yeah. So I'll tell you guys all about it later because it was pretty funny. But I had a grand old time. I had an absolutely grand old time. It was very fun. I thought.
All right, that's good.
And just like pretty laid back, you know. So yeah, it was a nice little night. So I did get the invite. Number 10 was I am talking to literally everybody. Which I
we went over this already.
Oh, we did? Okay. Number 11 then. I'm so ecstatic for Annie Park, but she needs to get it to 15 under to beat Kupcho. And she was at 7 under at the end of the day on Saturday. But she had a really great like breakout week, speaking of golf. She apparently hadn't really – the highest she had placed at like the – in a major had been, you know, 3 years ago or something at the KPMG. And she had, you know, taken some time off during COVID and thought about quitting golf, I guess. She had a really kind of like, you know, very emotional interview. I thought I was emotional. She wasn't very – well, she actually might have been emotional. But she had like an interview, a post round on, you know, Friday where she was just talking about how she was doing and also our 4A girl. So she looked amazing. And yeah, she just really got it going. And it was cool to watch somebody like have that type of performance at, you know, at a major.
Where did she finish?
So I watched her a little bit. She ended up, I probably should have had the stuff up, huh, guys? Where we finished. That was only secondary to what I was paying attention to.
We could have too.
Let's see. Chevron leaderboard. See, it doesn't even come right up. Something about Albertsons came up.
All right, go to number 12 and I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, also we're number at 30, 12 was, we're at 31 minutes, just FYI.
Okay. I mean, you... do you want me to stop?
I'm just giving you a time check.
All right, so number 12 was lol, my phone is dead. number 13... Number 13 was Shibuno's gallery is huge and really? So many Japanese people and so much Japanese media. She is a true celeb. On Saturday, she had like cool. one of the biggest galleries at the time that I was paying attention to it.
How many people do you think that was, the biggest gallery?
The biggest at that point, that was probably the biggest I'd seen so far that day. And she was one of the like maybe the fifth to last group or something. And it really was. It was just like people were like taking pictures of her, like really freaking out, you know, smiling Cinderella. She really was like a national treasure. Mm-hmm. So everybody was clearly very excited for her. And I mean, I think, you know, there were a handful of Japanese players, but she's definitely like the, you know, the biggest one. So everyone was there for her, basically. Number 14 was buy a disposable camera for tomorrow. Guys, did you know that disposable cameras are now $32 if you buy them at Walgreens?
What?
How?
Needless to say, that was not in the budget. So I was like, Jen Turk said to buy them online and they're cheaper. So Amazon, maybe get a value pack. Yeah. She knows everything. And then number 15 was Annie Park is making me emotional.
So you had Annie Park on there twice.
Yeah, well, I only took 15 notes, you know, so. This was my phone was dead. This was end of the day on Saturday. I was just like, wow. Because it really, I don't know, it was just really cool to, you know, see kind of a, you know, a breakout performance or like a comeback performance, if you will. You know, that's what I like. That's kind of something I like, know. You know?
Not to burst your bubble. Job. Well, not to burst your bubble at all, but Annie finished tied for 25th.
What happened on...
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm asking you guys what happened on Sunday. Ooh, what happened on Sunday there? She went into the day at 700. Where'd she finish scoring-wise? What was her final score?
Isn't loading. It's not... It doesn't have that in this view.
That's okay. Everybody, we know that you don't listen to this podcast for like information, right? Oh. Just kind of takes and
Jen, and, I think details. You did a fabulous job covering the event.
I mean, truly excellent.
Fabulous. I felt like I felt a little on. It's embarrassing taking videos of yourself when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, like literally the most embarrassing thing ever. I felt like such an idiot.
I mean,
yeah, I just, can see that. I can get that.
Just so the listeners know, Kirsten and I had a privileged line into Jenny for her own check-ins, her own video vlogs.
Dispatches from the road.
Dispatches, that's the word I was looking for. And those were something. Really quite enjoyable.
I was laughing so hard.
I cried. Okay. Watching them.
Can I say though, on when I sent you guys on Saturday that video from Friday night? So guys,
oh my God.
Sending Kiki and Haley these like dispatches from the road. They're kind of like sneak peeks,
pretty frequently.
If you because when I had nobody to talk to, I was like, I gotta send them a dispatch.
So it's sad that we Friday weren't responding. Night, we should have been sending videos back.
I know.
I knew that you were watching though, but the Friday night one was my most vulnerable because I had gotten pretty banged up. It made a lot of sense why my comrade was very hungover on Saturday because like I too was probably very hungover, but I think Saturday night I got really hungover and that's why the food thing is so emotional. Yeah. And so. Yeah. because I also like drank a few beers on Saturday, you know, like worked my way through it. I was very excited. But I took one of the dispatches when I got home from the bar on Friday night, and I was just like, I don't even know if I've done this for them. Because I was asleep. I was falling asleep. I was pretty drunk. It was. Smoked a little weed, obviously. And I was just like, I don't even know if I should send them. Like, they might get nervous that I'm alone like this.
I mean, I think we've all seen it before.
Well, and then you guys didn't respond for like 12 hours. I was like, was that like too much? Or I felt really vulnerable. Nobody responded.
You sent it in the middle of the day on Saturday. And I think you and I were just like both like out. Like, I just like, I saw it come in.
I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, I saved it immediately to my camera roll. So like, I will go back to it often.
Thank you.
That is maybe not someday, getting lost in the messages.
Someday if Gruder Golf becomes our real job and I don't have to worry for my job security anywhere else, maybe we'll publish some of the dispatches.
I mean, that could be something in the archives that would be really fun to dive into.
That would be a documentary.
Like, yeah. You were like texting me, you're like, you want to go through some of them and post what you think is appropriate to the story? And I started watching it and I was like, I can't.
You said we should post some chunks of this. And I was like, okay, then you decide, because I don't think any of it is good for public consumption.
You were right.
I was like, I don't know what we'd put up here. I think.
I mean, there was one about the nudie resort billboard. The billboards coming into Palm Springs were nerve wracking because, first of all, it was very desert landscape, and I was like, it's kind of like creepy here. You know, I'm not used to the desert. I don't know very much about it. You know, it's one of the landscapes. It's a blind spot for me.
Yeah.
So
just one.
It's one of many blind spots. And so I was like, oh, shit. And I saw the billboard. I mean, some of the billboards were just like, believe. And I was like, what is that supposed to be for? You know, no, it's belief.
They have a lot of those.
And then one was for a nudie resort that was pretty close to my hotel. So I was like, oh, God. I don't know what I'm getting into.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was fabulous.
I appreciate that.
I think beaming it with pride. I mean,
I am truly addicted. And actually, you know, hey, listeners, and, you know, you never know who the listeners are. If you would like to support our commitment to the LPGA and going to cover these events, we are actively looking for sponsors and partners. And wouldn't you like to put your name on that coverage? Some people might.
Even as a host family, that could be a way to contribute.
Oh, yeah. If anybody wants to be a host family to us as well, I would love to stay in host housing instead. I really, you know, it's clearer to me than ever that I'm an extrovert. In the truest sense that I derive energy from talking to people.
Yeah.
Like, so you're just realizing that?
No, it's just like, I never had to confirm it in such a, you know, in such a way. You know, I've never traveled by myself before. And so, like, I was on kind of like, especially at night, just like high alert, you know, like, you don't want like anything bad to happen. Like, I'm not much of a worrywart when I'm with one other person, but like by myself, I was like, you know, I don't want to be like some sort of sitting duck. You know, and so there were some scary people out in the desert.
I mean, there's some weirdos out there for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, there are weirdos anywhere, you know, but they were just weirdos, like different weirdos, you know?
Yeah.
Not a lot of people walking around, so, you know.
So what's up next? What's our next tournament that we're going to be at?
I mean, all together. Are you going to all together, I think, is KPMG, right?
Yeah,
the U.S. Women's Open is on the calendar, but I'm going to have to see. I need to coordinate it with Hallie. Oh, did you see Hallie?
I did. I got dinner with Hallie and Annie on Thursday night. I also went into the weekend with a sinus infection. So I felt kind of bad about that. But yeah, my hotel was sweet in LA. And I got upgraded to the best room in the house.
Wow.
I showed you guys. That you was did. One of my first dispatches. And that made me want to move to LA. I was like, I love it here. People are so nice. But it was a little bit of a slap in the face because one of the like little decor things they had was the script from Swingers written by Jon Favreau. And do you know about the problem I have with Jon Favreau?
No.
I don't fucking like Favreau.
Really?
Okay. Did you ever see the movie Chef?
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
I know.
And I hated the show that he did after.
Yeah, like, he launched a sub-career.
He's just such an LA type, you know? Like, he's such like an actor. And I don't fucking like him.
I know what you mean, but there's so many people that are just fucking actors.
I know, but he should hide it better, I think, for me to like him.
I wasn't that off put, but I get what you mean.
Well, we just watched all of it, so like over time, I just would slowly be like, fucking Favreau, like, and I'd be like, look at him being a dick to David Chang, you know, like, because he would just be like, oh, do you ever do this? And I was like, don't ask him, like, you should, I don't know. He was like trying to give advice to like chefs. And I was like, dude, you just pretended to be a chef. Like, I know you got really into it, but
so yeah. No, that's fair. He's acting.
So, but yeah, it was chic. So yeah, guys, if you have any more questions about my time at the Chevron, obviously feel free to reach out. I'll obviously answer anything. Highly recommend going to an LPGA event. Like I said, tickets to get in on Sunday, I think were like $40. Like yeah. To get to a major where you're going to get like the closest access possible to these players. It's amazing to watch them up close. Extremely powerful. Congratulations to Kupcho. Patty Cool was also so cool in real life. Extremely cool. I wish she had kind of, you know, done something. But yeah.
Amazing. I can't wait for the KPMG.
Me neither.
I'm so
excited. So excited. So yeah, if anybody wants to be our sponsor for that,
we already have host housing.
Do we? Oh yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Oh my gosh, how exciting! Shout out.
But we do need regular sponsors. So
yeah.
So regularly sponsor us. All right. So guys, next week we'll be coming back with an awesome guest. Don't know who it is yet, but it's gonna be someone pretty awesome. Till we meet again, hang loose, swing easy. Thanks for tuning in. We love you, and we'll see you out there.
Bye.
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 Por el camino del desierto, el viento me despeina. Suelo aroma de colita, no me da nada de labio. Ella de lo lejos, una luz en tela. La idea de mezcal, de mí por en la noche. Ella estaba a la entrada y la campana ya sonar. Y me dijo ya mi mismo, esto puedo del cielo. Ella enciende una vela y nuestra del camino. Soy voz el corredor y yo te dije bien. Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place. Such a lovely place. Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place. Such a lovely place. Such a lovely place. Cuando va en el patio, perfuma de verano, hay que venir para recordar y otra para olvidar. Le pide el capitán que sirva el vino y me dijo no hemos tenido el alcohol. Desde sentí de nueve, la voz se quedó llamando, desde yo a despertar, la noche para decir. Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place.